Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
It was a beautiful drive down from Cincinnati and Kentucky, and I love that last hymn. Brings back very many memories. The Lord God reigns. We sang that at our wedding in Covington, Kentucky. It's my wife's favorite hymn. About 11 years ago, and thankfully, Mr. and Mrs. DeCampos gave away their daughter and allowed her to come down to Texas. And now we have three children, so it's wonderful coming back. It's been a while. And we like to come in the middle of the summer, you'll notice, because it's about 100 in Texas right now. So this has been a great break. It's been amazing. It almost feels like the feast or something. So it's been beautiful. And I'd like to tell y'all a little story to start off with. About a year ago, our daughter, Abigail, she was about 5, and we were going to go bike riding. We like to do that on the Sabbath in the morning. And then she said, "Oh, Daddy, you can take the training wheels off my bike." And I was like, "What? Already?" You know, and she's only 5 and she's so little. And I thought, okay, well, I'll try. You know, let's take these off. But, you know, we may have to help you in a while and things like that. Of course, she wanted to be like her big brother. He doesn't need training wheels. He hasn't needed them for a while. And so took him off, and I was holding her at the back of the bike, and, you know, she was doing pretty good, but she was wobbling here and there. She was kind of nervous. But I would run alongside her and hold the back of her bike, you know. But every once in a while, I would let go a bit and just kind of run behind her a little bit, and I'd keep cheering her on. And then sometimes I'd say, "Abby, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it on your own." And she'd figure out, and then she'd get nervous, and she'd kind of fall down. Well, she started getting the hang of it. About the second time, I was holding the back of her bike, running behind her. I let go of it, and I kept cheering her on. "You're doing it! You're doing it!" She went to the end of the road, but as soon as she couldn't hear me anymore, then she would fall down and go in the grass. And but pretty quick there, she didn't need my help anymore. When she realized that she was doing it on her own, she got a lot more confidence, and she stopped wobbling. But every time I would hold that bike, she'd kind of rely on me instead of doing it on her own. So it made me really think, and our children's journey in this life is a lot like learning to ride a bike. And as parents, we play an important role in this journey. And this morning, I'd like us to focus on the different roles in a child's development that we have as parents, teaching God's laws, His way of life, and what God our Father is truly like. And for all of us, even if you don't have children, this parallels how God is training us in this life as our Heavenly Father. Let's look at that. One key start would be in Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You all know this scripture really well. "Train up a child in the way he should go," Proverbs 22, 6, "and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So Solomon gives us some great advice here. And this word that Solomon uses in Hebrew for train is chanak. So it's C-H-A-N-A-K, which has a variety of meanings. It may not just be to train as we think of it, but it can mean discipline, giving them rules and instructions, and reminding them about those rules, but also a deep dedication to wanting them to succeed. And so the train has a deep meaning here. And at first, as parents, our job is kind of like those training wheels on a bike. They rely on us so much, especially when they're first born. Everything is about the parents. They totally rely on us. But then as they grow older, they rely on us to learn His Word, to speak His Word to them, to teach His laws, to teach His Bible. And also, they look to us to see God's loving nature. And this short time we have with them is when the admonition, especially in Deuteronomy 6, becomes so important. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." We are to put these words in our heart and teach them diligently to our children all of the time in Deuteronomy 6. We are to talk of them when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, and when we lie down. And when we lie down and talk about these things, this can take quite a while in our household when we're putting the children to bed. But really, it's a time that they truly open up to us at the end of the day when they're winding down. and a great time. We'll read a little Bible story, and they'll ask about that, and it leads to more things, and eventually we have to say, okay, we'll get the rest of this tomorrow. We're not going to cover it all tonight. So, and then even when you rise up. So all these times are opportunities for us to teach our children about God's ways. And I'm so thankful for the preteen and the teen camps here in the church. We went to Camp Colorado for the second time this summer, and it was beautiful. But they planned teaching God's word all along in every activity, really. And it's been wonderful. And my wife and I, they have as many workers as they do children there, so it's great. They include everyone. Anyone who wants to go, the parents can go. And even with little baby Joel, and we would bring him along on the hikes. And there's different steps along the way, 12 different areas, even when you go hiking. And each one, they'll talk about a different scripture and how it relates to God's nature. And so it's really a nice thing. And then we even end the day with a campfire. We'll have a little story, a Bible story, and we'll sing praises to God around the campfire. So all throughout the day, we have opportunity to learn about God and teach it to the children in that camp. So it's a wonderful opportunity if you haven't gone. And the thought of our children making this calling, God's way of life, their own, honestly is a very scary one for Clarissa and I. It's something we pray about a lot, hoping that we can pass on what our parents gave to us and the teachings that he gave to us in the Bible. I know that our children are being called just like we were called. Peter made that very clear on Pentecost, a holy day we just celebrated, when he said on that first Pentecost, "For the promise is to you and your children." He didn't just say to you, but and to your children. Paul calls our children holy. And I hope with all my heart that one day they will realize that God loves them and they choose to answer that call and follow his way of life. However, as we all know, we can't make the choices for them one day as much as we wish we could. But God does give us this short time to help be those training wheels and to train up our children. So we must embrace that every moment we can. And at some point in life, we must let go of that bike and let our children learn lessons from their choices. So that's kind of the second point here. The first point is we're like training wheels. And our second point is at some point, we, just like God, let's go of that bike after he gives us his word, his instruction, just like he did to the Israelites, and he lets you make the choice, lets you ride on your own. And he even lets us fall a few times, as sometimes, even my dad, when he taught me to ride a bike, he took me to the park behind our house, and there was a big hill. And he said, "All right, go for it." And he just pointed me down that hill, and I had to figure out I was going to go down one way or the other. But I learned, and I gained my confidence. And he knew I could fall, but it was in a grassy area, and I wasn't learning the other way. You know, by just going down the road, I said, "No, I can't do it." And making me have that choice, making me have the chance to fall, actually helped me gain my confidence. I know that I've fallen many times in life when I was deciding if this was my religion or my parents' beliefs, and I've done things that I wish I hadn't done, and I had to learn the hard way. But I continue to learn the balance, the bike of life. And thankfully, I've repented and been baptized, and he's shared his spirit inside of me and all of us to help us balance in life and keep moving forward with repentance. God allows us to go through trials to develop character. It helps us. It refines us. And sometimes those trials involve falling down in life and getting back up, dusting yourself off, and keep going. Sometimes we might even ask God why we're going through such a hard trial, and maybe it's a very hard health trial, and why he lets us get hurt at times in life. It sometimes doesn't make sense to us because we know God loves us so much. But God may even be there, almost crying and saying, "I'm sorry, my son, my daughter, this is part of the process." He knows what's best for us, even though it's hard for him. And he had to, his own son had to die for us. In Hebrews 12, let's all turn there, please. Hebrews 12, and let's start in verse 5. Some wisdom from God. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. It's not fun to fall, but painful nevertheless. But afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we see that falling off the bike in life, so to speak, can be painful, but these trials can also lead to the peaceable fruit in righteousness. If we learn from these trials and don't continue to do the same things that made us fall, and we subject ourselves to His guiding spirit in our lives, as it's talked about here. Finally, we can pray and encourage our children. Just like I was yelling for Abby and telling her, you can do this. Keep going. You can do this. Well, in John 17:25, not 1 John, but John, when Jesus was talking, John 17:25, we can read the end of Christ's prayer. Christ wanted to encourage us before he died, and this prayer was recorded for us, knowing that he cares about us. We can pray the same thing for our children. Righteous Father, Jesus prayed, though the world does not know you, in John 17:25, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. Talking about his disciples, but also us, those who would believe after he died. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them. You wanted God's love to be in us. And that I myself may be in them. So we pray for us, and God's love is helping us. So it's a tall job, and a scary one at times, but our job is to train our children in God's word, and to make God known to our children through the way we live, through the choices we make, so that they can know Him and His love. Then, we need to allow them to respond. It's a process, and if they truly repent one day, and are baptized, they can have God's powerful spirit inside them, comforting them and guiding them along the way as well. And if it doesn't happen right away, we know that our God is very patient, isn't He? Loving and merciful, just like the story of the prodigal son. He waited, and He had His arms open to His son who came back. He's not willing that any should perish. Thankfully, God's wonderful that way. And even me, my mom recently passed away, and my dad's not doing well, so I'm going to lose him too as well soon. But it's a scary thing thinking I don't have them to go to for advice or for that encouragement in life. But thankfully, we have a God who's there all the time we can talk to and is always cheering us on, telling us, you can do it, you can make the right decisions, and who will always be there for us. So friends, God is calling our children and inviting them to be first fruits as well. To be honest, my wife and I were anxious about the day when it will be time for us to take off the training wheels and let our children in this world, and hopefully they'll make the right decisions. We'll have to let go of that bike seat and just pray that they will keep going forward. And our prayer is that they will always know that God is there, running alongside, ready to catch them, even we, their physical parents, are not. God is always there.